With me and open them to the Gospel of John. Amen. The Gospel of John, chapter number 6. If you've looked at your bulletin, then you know that we're going to be talking about a mid-year review. Say, preacher, what do you mean a mid-year review? We're endeavoring this year to shine God's light with all of our might. We've been talking about that each week and different aspects of that. But we started off the year saying, what's going to take you away from God, or what's going to make you go away from God? And that was the thought for the year. John chapter 6, Jesus Christ asked that same question to a group of disciples. And he said, will ye also go away? You know, in our right mind, we think, well, who in their right mind is going to go away from Jesus? I mean, that's a no-brainer. If you've been with Jesus, you know you're going to stick with Jesus, amen? Unless there are other things that could kind of get in the way. And that can happen. That can happen with husbands and wives. That can happen with friends. That can happen with family members. It can happen. Things can kind of get in there, and you don't even know it's there. And before long, you will go away. John chapter 6, notice a few verses. Verse 67 says this. Matter of fact, go to 66. Jesus, the Bible says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, that's speaking of people that went away from Jesus. Then said Jesus unto the 12. Now, he's going to talk to his inner circle. Now, think about the group of disciples. There's a whole bunch of disciples. Disciple just means to be a follower of Christ or a learner of Christ. And so that group walked away. Then he went to the inner circle, the 12. And he says, will ye also go away? Question mark. Now, he's talking to the 12. Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Question. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter said, where are we going to go? Where can we get what you give us? Amen. I would have to agree. He went on to say, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. What a profound statement he made. Jesus answered them, speaking to the 12, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. I asked the question, if we're going to shine God's light with all of our might in the beginning of the year, we're going to have to get past the challenge to the church crowd found here in John chapter 6. The same exact challenge that Jesus gave to the 12. The same exact challenge that went to the other disciples that went away. And Jesus, speaking to the inner circle here, asked that question, will ye also go away? Peter gave the right answer. The multitude left because they said, this is a hard saying. We can't accept that. We can't understand what you're saying. What's going to make you go away the remainder of 2014? Hardship, maybe. Maybe suffering. Maybe some pain. Maybe a sickness. Maybe a marriage that falters. Maybe a child that goes wayward. Maybe a boss that lets you go and fires you unfairly. Maybe not getting that promotion. Maybe you feel God failed a promise on you. Maybe you've got a chronic illness or disease that has set in recently, or something going on, and that may challenge you, cause you to go away from God. Say, preacher, it won't happen. Yes, it will. There are some folks that were here when I preached this message in January that aren't here right now. And they heard this message, and I challenged them and said, hey, look, what's going to make you go away? Oh, nothing, preacher, and they are not here today. Consider the subject today, what's going to make you go away. Father, bless now in these next moments. As we look into the Word of God, Lord, some things that we talked about in the beginning of the year, but Lord, this is mid-year. 6 months away from when we first preached it, Lord, 6 months more to go, and 5 more months to go, I should say, in this month and this year. And Lord, I pray in these next 6 months that remain, we might choose wisely. We might understand that the things that are before us are not meant to drive us away from you. They're meant to bring us closer to your precious bleeding side. Lord, I pray that we'll understand that there are many circumstances in life that will vie for our attention. There are many things that would cause us not to be able to shine your light with all of our might. Lord, we need to guard against those things that we might truly be the Christians that you'd have us to be. Lord, I pray that as we consider this topic today, the Word of God may speak to our hearts, challenge us with these things that we seem to have been surrounded with throughout this year. Lord, there are many here that are faithful that have heard that challenge to the church crowd in the early months of this year. And Lord, they've been faithful through sickness. They've been faithful through job losses and decreases in pay and family squabbles. And they've been faithful through marriages that have been on the rocks. And they've been faithful through children that have gone away and stray. And Lord, they've been faithful to trust your promises. And Lord, they're here today. Lord, encourage their hearts. Then these next 6 months, they may continue being faithful, although it may seem difficult at best. May they rest in the power of God, and as we sang the song, Standing on the Promises of God, may they truly stand on the promises of Almighty God and the word that fails not. And Lord, when it is all said and done at the conclusion of this year, may we be able to say like Peter, Lord, where are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There's nowhere, no place, and no one we can go to that can give and do for us like you can. Lord, for that soul that's ready to give up and struggle, I pray for that man, woman, boy, or girl that you would help them to be faithful. Although they may not see the light at the end of the tunnel, it's nonetheless, we're going to be called up to glory one day. Lord, for that person that seems like you're just not being faithful to them, may they recognize God has been faithful. He's been good, and he still is good. Lord, for that one that needs to be saved today, that man, that woman, that boy or girl that has not the assurance that they're born again, they're saved, and if they die, they go to heaven. Lord, speak to that man, that woman, that boy or girl today. They may truly know that Jesus Christ is alive. He's risen again, and he's coming back, and they need to be saved before it's everlasting too late. And speak to us, Lord, through this message. Holy Spirit, have liberty, have your way. Bless now the message and the song that we'll hear. Lord, may you be uplifted in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson is going to sing for us today. The blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Get this turned on. Amen. One of the beauties of having the sound guys close by, amen, is you can get their attention quick and they can get your attention quick. At the wedding in North Dakota, that church of over 500, the sound guy was way back up there. And I needed to get my mic turned on. I had to do like this. Hey, guys, can I get this turned back on? Amen. And they were far removed. They didn't see me at first. I had to keep doing that. Amen. Towards the end of the wedding, and it was a very, very large place. Amen. Well, in the beginning of the year, I told you that this was going to be a challenge. And we called this message the challenge to the church crowd. We also go away. And I challenged us and said, you know, it's going to be difficult at best to remain faithful week after week, month after month, and day after day, because there's just always something vying for your attention, and especially in the church, amen? If you have lived any type of length of Christian life, you'll know that you can have your mind together until you walk through the doors of this church. Everything can be going well. You can have all your thoughts together. The minute you sit in here and you sit down, there seems to be a trance that comes over you. You start thinking about everything else, what you cooked on the stove yesterday. Did you lock up the gate for the dog? Did you do this? What's your boss going to do to you tomorrow when you come? And you sit down here, and it's a challenge at best to focus on the very word that can save your soul and guide your life. And the preacher gets up here, and he preaches his heart out, and he was wanting you to get right with God and do some things for the Lord, and folks are like this. They're just zoned out. And the ones that aren't zoned out are on their iPads. And the ones that are on that are texting because somebody texted them during the church. And they don't have sense to leave it outside in the car like I do. And so when you come in the house of God, everything is vying for your attention. And this is the very place that you should remain in attention. It's like a soldier, whoop, at attention. Attention is like this. It's not like this. It's not like this. It's not like this. Not like this. Attention is, boom, I'm focused. Hey, you get in line, amen, and you've got to be focused. When you come through the house of God, if you're not focused on purpose, you're going to miss something. Let me tell you, you're going to miss something that's important for you.
And so there's a challenge to the church crowd. That means you folks that are sitting here. I'm not talking about the people tonight here. They're already out the battle. Amen. They're already gone away. But Jesus turned and he talked to the 12, the ones that were with him through thick and thin, the ones that walked with him along all his miracles. He's talking to that group, the ones that are faithful. That's you folks. And he gave them a challenge. He says, will ye also go away? Looking at the multitude, they all came to get their needs filled. They got fed in early chapters of John chapter 6 here. They got some food and they got fed and they came back for another meal ticket. Well, Jesus fed us yesterday. Maybe he'll feed us today. You see how he turned those loaves and multiplied that stuff? You see how he did those fishes? Man, I'm going back there tomorrow. I'm getting fed. I'm getting full for free, man. Put that lunch money away. I'm going to Jesus. Jesus had to weed that crowd out because some of them just wanted handouts. You know, that's the way it is in the church sometimes. Folks just come for handouts. They want to get what they can get. They don't want no parts with Jesus. They don't want any parts with righteousness. They don't want to get saved. They could care less about heaven or hell. They'll talk the game and play the game as long as they can get them a handout. Preacher, give me some money. Preacher, give me a sandwich. Give me a biscuit. Give me something. Well, yeah, I don't mind feeding you, but I'd rather feed you the word of God. Why? That's eternal. That's what's going to keep you. And that's the challenge that Jesus gave to that crowd. He said, look, don't labor for that meat that's going to perish. You need me. You need to eat me. And you need to have me. And they thought, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Eat you? You think we're cannibals now? And they came back and they said, this is why Jesus was speaking spiritual. And carnal minds can't understand spiritual things. It goes like this. You tell somebody, you must be born again. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, preacher, I was born once already. That's what Nicodemus said, too. Jesus said, you got to be born from above. He said, that which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You've got to do this thing all over from above. You need God's spirit. And so he's speaking spiritually to these folks here, and they can't understand a word he's saying. Notice what it says down in verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can eat it? Who can hear it? Why? What did he say? Notice verse 54. Go to 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of God, Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now, he's not speaking of taking a literal bite out of his arm. And he's not talking about slitting a vein and putting it in a cup and drinking. He's talking about having Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And in relationship, having repented of my sins and seeing that Jesus Christ was going to die for my sins, was going to be buried, was going to raise again, I'm going to have that precious blood that was shed that Mrs. Dawson just sang about. That blood was shed for me. It's my victory and his resurrection. His life, his body was broken for my sins, but he's going to be raised again. And I've got to believe that. I've got to accept that. And I've got to possess that. And they didn't understand it. And so they came back with verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Or who can accept it? Or who can understand this type of talk? A person that sees their real need, not for a sandwich, but for the Savior. See, they're looking for a sandwich. He said, I'm not a sandwich. I'm not a meal ticket. I'm a mercy ticket. I want to give mercy. I want to save you from your sins, not your sandwiches. They couldn't understand the mercy ticket. They thought it was a meal ticket. I dare say there's some right here today don't understand that. You think he's a prosperity gospel preacher. He's not. The prosperity he gives is prosperity in heaven. He's not a meal ticket, although he will feed you. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. He's Jehovah God. He's Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He said, who can hear it? Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? He said, this caused you to stumble? Can you not understand it? You got problems with this? He says, what, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? He said, what if I just ascend before your eyes and go back up to heaven? It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, notice this, they are spirit and they are life. He said, I'm speaking spiritual. It's not fleshly. And if you're not spiritual and spiritually minded, you're going to miss it. And they were missing it. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Speaking of Judas, of course, and so many others. And he said, therefore, said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. He said, the Spirit of God is going to draw you. God puts it in your heart to come to him. Make no mistake, you don't come to God on your terms. You come to God on his terms. He puts an unction in your heart. He puts a want to in your heart. He puts a conviction on your heart. He puts a drawing on your heart. And it's that drawing that brings you to Christ. Unbeknownst to me, Jesus Christ began to draw me many years ago. And incidents happened in my life. And he put me in places with people and positions where he was drawing me all along. And I look back and I see how his hand placed was on my life as a young child. And he led me by my parents. And he put things in my place. Led me to this church and led me to that church. And put me here and put me there. Until finally he got me to the place where I could get saved. Why? He was drawing me. I dare say he drew you too. You look back on your life and you see the times when you were spared. Many times I could have been killed. I remember many times driving drunk. Charmaine's dad was killed by a drunk driver. I could have killed somebody driving drunk. Sometimes I didn't know how I got home. And God spared me from that. And I look back, God, why did you spare me from that? Because I wanted to save you, son. Because I loved you, son. And why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? I don't know. I don't know why Charmaine's dad got taken. I don't know why I didn't hit somebody. I don't understand all the workings of God. But I knew he drew me to February 3rd, 1991. And that day I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I saw his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and I saw it was for me. And I looked to the cross, and I looked and I said, oh Lord, that should be me. Why would you spare a sinner like me? He said, I want to have mercy on you, son. I don't want to be your meal ticket. You don't need a sandwich, you need the Savior. You're on your way to hell, son. It's only by the grace of God when you crashed those vehicles that I saved you. And I allowed you to live. For February 3rd, 1991, I walked in that church and I sat down and I heard the gospel like I had never heard it before. There was a room full of people, but as far as I was concerned, it was just me. I was all alone. I had no cognizance of anybody around me. It was just me. And as a preacher preached, it's like he had a big finger and he pointed down at me and said, that's you, son. I'm talking to you, son. You need to be saved, son. If you don't get it right, son, you will die. You will go to hell. You will crash that car. You will overdose. Remember that one time I overdosed 3 days. I was not in my right mind. 3 days. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw things. Got a hold of some bad drugs. You think that would stop a person, don't you? But when you're an addict, that kind of stuff don't stop you. You continue on. After crashing that vehicle into someone's house and not a scratch on me, you would think that would have stopped me from drinking. But it didn't. Say, preacher, what stopped you? The blood of Jesus Christ. I got born again. February 3rd, 1991, when I walked into that church in Belgium, heard that preacher preach and saw that long finger. It wasn't the finger of man. It was the finger of the Messiah saying, hey, son, you need me. And that day I didn't hear flesh. I heard spirit. And I felt the conviction of the spirit. And it weighed upon me heavily. And I could not get away from it. Let me tell you something. If you're convicted by the Spirit of God, you can't get away from it. You can run, you can hide, but you cannot get away from it. Person that says, well, yeah, I'm saved, but you've got no conviction. I have doubt that you've got the kind of conviction that God gives. You may have God's, man's consciousness, but not God's conviction. God's conviction, you can't get away from it. The Apostle Paul, walking down the road to Damascus, he says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He couldn't get away from it. Couldn't get away from it. That's what's going on here. Spiritual things are being spoken of and they can't understand it. And so as a result, The same message that saved me that day, February 3rd, 1991, verse 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Others in that same church service that I attended with my wife, when we both got saved, others didn't get saved and walked away. Why? They didn't hear the Spirit. And so as Jesus is preaching, he said, what I'm speaking is spiritual. And then verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And he's looking at the 12. And get the picture. The multitudes have gone away. One by one, they're walking away. And as they're walking away, sad that they didn't get fed for the day, Jesus turns around to the disciples who, they're his supporting cast. These guys are gone now. And he turns to the 12. Will ye also go away? And he asks the question, will you guys go away too? And that's the question I put to you at the beginning of the year. Will you go away? You're the church crowd. You're the ones that are here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. You're the church crowd. And he spoke to the faithful. And he says, will you go away? And I asked you, I said, what's going to make you go away? Looking at our text here, Peter had the right answer. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Verse 68. Whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. But let's not forget, even Peter denied Jesus three times. Even Peter, after the resurrection, said, I go a-fishing. And he took about eight of the disciples with him. You can go away and still be here. And get this, you can go away and still be here and take others away with you too. Ooh, by what you say, by how you say it, by how you get in your little groups and your niches and you talk about another Christian. You can go away and still be here. And you're over here in your little niche talking about Christian A and Christian B, or over here talking about Brother Egg White, or over here talking about Sister B Honey. And you can talk about these things and have your own little group over here. And I got this group and I got this group. And you're here every day. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Singing now. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. He tells me of me. Did you hear what the old Egg White over there said over here? Precious love for me. She ought to stop with that stuff. He tells me of that precious blood. I tell you, but I don't know what they're going to do. You know, they need me in this church. They didn't have me, girl. I tell you, they'd be out there. I'm talking about them over there, too. And just for me. Oh, how I love you. You're still here, but you're gone away. You're so far removed from what God would have you to do. It's a shame. If God came down and tapped you on the shoulder, you'd say, who is that? What am I saying? You can go away and still be here. That's difficult, but it's doable. Peter denied Christ three times and said, I go a-fishing. He took disciples with him. If we're not careful, some things can take us away from our Lord. And we can still be here week after week after week, and we can take others with us. And I pose this question. I say, you ever wonder why some people do, after serving God, go away? And you can't find them with the FBI? Something took them away. They didn't just up and walk. People just don't just up and walk away from Jesus. Think about it. Not that truly got touched by him. They don't just up and walk away from Jesus. Now, the crowd that went away, the multitude of disciples, they were in it for the sandwich. They went away. They never really had a real investment in Christ. The disciples, however, had a real investment in Christ. They really trusted. They really believed. They really knew he was the Son of God, except for one. They believed it. But Jesus still said, are you going to go away? That'll make you check yourself on it. Hey, you don't know what's going to happen the rest of these 6 months, do you? Some of you might lose your job. What are you going to do? Blame it on God. Some of you might lose your husband or your wife. What are you going to do? Blame it on God. You may lose a child. What are you going to do? Blame it on God. You may get chronically ill. What are you going to do? Blame it on God. Beginning of this year, John wasn't in a wheelchair. Now look at him. He's in a wheelchair. He could easily blame it on God and stay home. But guess what? We also go away. John said, I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. Give me my wheelchair. Bring me on in there. I want to hear the word of God. Why? That's what I need. Thou only hast the words of eternal life, Peter said. I'm not going anywhere. Things are going to happen these remaining 6 months, and I'm sure things have happened these past 6 months that you have been aware of, and still many have not gone away. And these disciples here, being challenged by Jesus, knew that things might happen in their lives, but they could not imagine the things that truly would happen. But yet and still they were faithful. They were faithful. They were faithful. Jesus answered, verse 70, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot. Now, you may not be a devil in here today, but you might have devilish influence. He doesn't have to possess you. He already owns you until you get born again. Once you become born again, he cannot possess you, although he can still influence you. Amen. Why do you think people go away? Influence. I've seen good, born again, bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, Christians go away. Why? Things happen. Get them discouraged. People talk about them in the church. Things happen, a squabble between them, or maybe they don't agree with the pastor or the assistant pastor or a teacher, or they don't agree with a deacon or an usher or a choir director. They don't agree with this, and things come in there, and those things that they're not dealt with can cause a person to go away. It's just as simple as that. I gave you three ways the church crowd can go away from the Lord and still be here, and the first one is the most common. And I said this, we can go away in our minds and still be here. We can go away in our minds and still be here. We can be here bodily or physically, but in our minds spiritually, we're 1,000 miles away. And you know, it doesn't take much to sit in a pew. Yeah, have you ever realized that? It doesn't take a whole lot. All you got to do is release your weight. And once you release your weight and buckle your leg, you're going down by gravity. I mean, that bottom is going to plop. Gravity will make sure that it happens. You're not going to plop up. You're going to plop down. Buckle your knees. Now, if you buckle your knees right now, guess what? You ain't going nowhere. Why? You're being held up by a pew. So it doesn't take much to sit in a pew. It takes a whole lot to pay attention, though. It takes a whole lot to focus. It takes a whole lot not to have my mind wander. Some folks say, "Well, I see the shine on preacher's head." And your mind's wandering. I wonder what he uses, turtle wax or something up there, you know? And now your mind's going on turtle wax. Now you're in the grocery store. Now you're walking down the aisle. Now you're getting some Ajax cleanser, and now you're getting some stuff over here. Now you're making a grocery list all at once. While the preacher's steady preaching, and his mouth is going, all you see is the shine and the turtle wax, and now you're shopping, picking stuff up, and now you done made you a list. Hey, am I true? It doesn't take much for your mind to wander. It takes a whole lot to focus. It takes a whole lot, even at your jobs. It takes a lot to focus on your job. I mean, you're sitting there and somebody calls you, "Oh, we need some eggs and some milk at the home." And now you make a grocery list. Then you start thinking, "Well, yeah, I want some lollipops too. And I want some popsicles." And your boss sitting there watching you writing these lists. It doesn't take a whole lot. The psalmist said, "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments," in Psalm 119. Why? He knew he was prone to wander. And so sitting here in this church, it's going to take an effort on you. And so many go away in their minds, and they're still here. And they're here in body physically, but they're wandering in their minds spiritually. And I said, spiritual things bring a spiritual battle. The devil does not want you to pay attention today, because you might hear something that's going to help you out. You might hear something that's going to help you with a relationship. You might hear something that's going to help you out with a friendship. You may hear something that's going to help you at your work job. You may hear something that's going to help you out with your husband or your wife or your children. You may hear something that's going to help you out tomorrow. You may hear something that's going to save you from hell. And he don't want you to hear that. So he's going to bring some things up to challenge your thought process this morning. The Bible says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," in 2 Corinthians 10:4, "but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds," what? "Casting down imaginations," or my thought process, "and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Often when we should be sitting at the feet of Jesus like Mary did, we're running around wandering in our minds like Martha was. Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And she said, "Oh, Lord, bitter that she come and help me." And he said, "One thing is needful." And Mary has chosen that important part. She's chosen that good part. She's chosen the part that won't get taken away. This running around and preparing and cumbered about, hey, that stuff is going to go. And oftentimes in our minds, we're wandering. In body, we're here, but in our minds, we're far, far away. Does God at least deserve an hour of focus during the worship time? Doesn't he deserve some time to just focus on him and his word? Doesn't he deserve that? I think he does. And so if that is the case, then it's going to be some spiritual discipline that I've got to do to maintain myself. I've got to make sure that I can focus. I've got to make sure that I cloud everything else, and I've got to clock out everything else and clock in on Jesus on purpose. Because if you don't, you're going to miss it. Well, I don't, if you were more entertaining as a preacher, I might clock in. Did you pray for me? You get what you pray for, don't you? You pray for your preacher. He might give you something that'll entertain you, amen. But guess what? I'm not in the entertainment business. I'm in the preaching business. Last time I checked, nobody in the Bible got him said, ooh, I feel good. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, come on, Jesus. Ooh, preachers. They was like this. Oh, my sin. Oh, my soul. Oh, I need to get saved. Help me now. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm sorry. If you're looking for entertainment, you better cut on Benny Hinn. No offense to anybody that watches them, but you better cut on somebody else. No, I'm not going to entertain you. Joel Osteen, better call him. I'm not here to entertain you. Amen. We can be here in church physically week after week, but in our mind, we're wandering spiritually somewhere else, maybe thinking about texting. You know, and we're in this computer age where you didn't have to preach about texting. But some folks, and I'm not trying to be offensive, some folks just don't have the good sense to not look at your phones when you're in church. Now, if you're Diana and she's got to keep tabs on John, I can understand that. But when you're just texting Johnny and Bill and Sue, what you doing? I'm in church. What do you think I'm doing? Don't text me again. Well, how long are you going to be in there? And there you go. You're starting a conversation. You should be paying attention up here. Come on. Y'all know it's true. You know it's true. You got these computers on your iPads, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when a Facebook blog comes up, you got to go over to that Facebook blog. And I'm preaching up here. Get off that Facebook blog. Some folks are thinking about texting, Facebooking, PlayStations, Xbox, some guy, some girl. Some are planning, some are sleeping, some are nodding, some are dreaming, some are pointing, some are accusing, some are not listening, some are not caring. I read a devotion back in June 29th, but this was 2012. And it said this: the Annenberg Center for the Digital Future at USC released a study on how American families are impacted by technology. This is 2012. Their report shows that more and more families are spending less and less time together. The number of Americans who acknowledge they are spending less time with those in their household has nearly tripled since 2006. That was 2012. From 11% to 28%. With the proliferation of social networking, time spent with family members has dropped from 28 hours per month just 6 years ago to 18 hours per month, and that was in 2012. Facebook, Twitter, and a whole list of social networks are capturing the time and attention of American families. Each day we have opportunities to have an impact on others, particularly on our families. But that requires a decision to take advantage of those opportunities and spend our time on things that really matter. In other words, he's saying, instead of spending time with our families, we're social networking outside our families. Spending more time with people outside our homes, the people in our homes that we are supposed to be raising and spending time with and relationships with, and we're more concerned about some Facebook person way over here who we're not going to even share the gospel with. You got to ask the set question, are you going away in your mind? Is it so important to answer a Facebook, a textbook during textbook? textbook or, amen, now you got me on textbooks, a Facebook or a blog during this time, y'all can tell that I don't do that. Pastor White, I just don't have time. I got so many other things to do. I don't have to. Now, I'm not saying drop your Facebook. Folks, I ain't preaching about faith. I ain't saying get rid of your Facebook. I'm saying don't let your Facebook control you, control your Facebook. Don't let your texts control you. You control your texts. Hey, I can sit down in the morning for my devotions, and I'll make sure my phone is far, far away from me. Why? If it goes off, human nature says, I want to see who it is. So a lot of times folks say, well, why didn't you respond? Because I didn't have my phone with me. Because I don't want it controlling me. Well, it was important. If it was that important, you should have prayed first. Ooh. Why pray when I can call you, preacher? Just superseding God out of there. Get God out of there. Let's just call the preacher. He'll handle it. Amen. Why try pray first? You might not even have to call the preacher or the assistant preacher. Prayer might solve the problem. But we've got this system of social networking. Well, I'll just put it out on Facebook and have everybody pray. But you didn't pray yourself. You want everybody else to pray on Facebook, but you won't pray. Well, I'll just put it out there on Facebook and everybody will know my business. Folks are robbing people on Facebook. Well, we went over to this place and got this item and put it on Facebook. Hey, you know they got this item? Go over there and rob them and get that item. You better be careful. Lily just sent me a text. One of the churches in the Philippines just got robbed, came in and stole all their equipment. I wonder if somebody put it on Facebook. Look at our equipment. Somebody said, oh, yeah, look at that equipment. He went in there and broke into church just last night and stole it all. Hey, don't let your right hand know what your left hand doing. Sometimes you got to keep some stuff to yourself. Now, I'm not saying, you folks say, he's just going to rampage about the Facebook. That's just because he don't do it. He don't know what it's like. He know what it's like. That's why he don't do it. I don't have time to keep up with the Joneses. I got that hard enough time keeping up with the Dawsons. One family is enough. They got the Joneses and all these Smiths. I can't use a Smith no more because they're in here. Amen. Anybody here named Jones? I hope not. Amen. You say that being the Joneses. Amen. What am I saying? Matthew 5:15-8 says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, Jesus said. Remember when we used to hang on the word of God on the edge of our seat? When you first got saved, I mean, on the edge of your seat. I mean, you're like this. I mean, you got the Bible and you're waiting for the preacher. Yeah. And when he got done, you thought, already? Now, as soon as he opened the Bible, you say, let me see, clock him. If he passed 45 minutes, I'll show him. I'll get up and walk out on him. Mm-hmm. Disrupt the service. Mm-hmm. Let him know. Close my Bible and zip it up. Zip. You ain't done yet. There was a time when we used to hang on the word of God, and when the preacher closed the Bible, we said, oh, preacher, give us more, give us more, give us more. Now it's like, boy, if you preach past 10 minutes, where we at? Some have gone away in their minds, folks, and we're talking to the church crowd, the people that say they love God. The Judas, of course, we know Judas didn't love God, but the rest of them. What am I saying? Many can go away in our minds and we're still here. In body we're here, but spiritually we're not here. What happened? We could be going away like Jesus challenged them and still be here. It requires spiritual discipline to come to the house of God. It requires spiritual discipline to read your Bibles at home. It requires spiritual discipline to retain what you read and to go back and beat it out and search it out. It requires spiritual discipline to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing word of truth. Hey, anybody can sit in a pew. Anybody can buckle their knees and let their weight down. Anybody can do that. But it takes something to let my mind be focused on God and his word. Hey, folks, that's how I got saved. I heard something. And when I heard it, I focused in on it. I said, that's what I need. That's what I want. And that's what I got. You get what you want to get. I hear folks all the time, well, oh, yeah, I need a ride to come to church, but they got no problem getting to Walmart. Preacher, I need a ride to church. They got no problem going down to the movie theater. Or, preacher, I need a ride to church, but they can get all the way on the other side to go to the Pima County Fair. Robbie's hangout. But I can't go to church, preacher, and you live right around the corner. Come on now, work with me. Now, I'm not talking about this dear lady over here. She does live around the corner. Where she at? She does live around. And she walks. Amen. Amen. There's another guy that comes in a wheelchair. Brother Ken picks him up. He comes in a wheelchair. The folks got all kinds of, well, it's a mind battle. It's a spiritual battle. Many can go away in their minds and still be here. Number two, let me hear it for y'all start saying, see, you're taking too long already. Amen. Number two, many can go away in their methods and still be here. By the way, we should ask God to help us focus when we come in each and every service. And we should say, God, let me put my heart, my body, my mind, my soul, my strength. Let me put everything into the service. Hey, you get out of the service, but you put in the service. Folks say, man, it was a dead service today. Well, how dead were you? Devin's up here singing his heart off. People like, don't you sometimes just want to pick him up, Devin, and say, open up your mouth. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But I found out a long time ago, it's a mindset, it's a mentality. Before you come into these doors to worship God, you've got to be ready to worship God. Nobody can make you worship God and praise God for it. That comes from your heart. That comes from your mind. That comes from being right with God and saying, I want to honor God. I want to worship God. Hey, if you're not careful, I'll sing right over you. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to praise my Savior. I'm here to glorify Him. I'm here to sing for His honor, His glory. I'm not here to impress you. I don't care how bad I sound. I'll sing loud. If you don't like it, you just better sing louder. Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. You don't like my noise, make your own. I'm just glad mine's is joyful. Yours could be painful. Number two, our methods. We have more technology but less spirituality. I challenged this earlier in the year. I said, you know, we can have all this technology but spiritually be just as dead. People have more electronic devices but less endearing devotion to God, and especially our young people. They got all these Bible apps on their phones, and they are less spiritual. There are more Bible apps out there probably than people are surrendering to go to the ministry. And with the Bible apps that are out there, people still are not more spiritual. Now, I'm sure the inventors of the Bible apps didn't mean for people to become less spiritual. I think they gave these apps so that you could be more spiritual. But you're so busy trying to get the next Bible app to get the next Bible app to get the next Bible app that you don't apply the first Bible app. Hey, the Bible doesn't say thy word have I hid in my app. Come on now. Thy word have I hid on Facebook. Does Facebook no good? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Hey, you can have it in an app all you want to. It's not going to help that app be more spiritual. It's supposed to help you. Say, preacher, this technological age, they didn't have to preach like that back in the days. They didn't. But they still had the same problem with their minds and their methods. We have got all these Bible apps they have to offer, but we seem to know less Bible. We seem to have less memory of Scripture, less study of Scripture, and even less application of the Scripture in daily living. And we have to ask the question, are we going away and we're still here? I gave you these questions at the beginning of the year. If someone asked you to find a Scripture, where would you go first, to your Bible or to your app? We used to be able to go to the Bible and go to our index and look it up. Now some folks don't even know they got an index in their Bible. I ask this question. When we forgot our device at home, did we feel naked without it? Many would say yes. These are rhetorical questions, don't answer. Then I ask this. When you forgot your Bible at home, did you feel as naked? Preacher, you're meddling now. How much more Bible have you memorized since you got your latest Bible app? Well, why do I have to memorize it, preacher? Because it's in my Bible app. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee, or thy word have I hid in my Bible app. Does you no good to have it in your Bible app, but you still can't find it. You still got to go to the Bible app and find it. Say, preacher, that's hard. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? That's why many of them went away. Amen. I ask you this question. Of the Bible that you memorized since you got your latest Bible app, how much of that do you practice? Now, this is 6 months ago. You say, preacher, it doesn't get any easier. Amen. Amen. Hanging on the seat, I read this devotion. It says, think back to the time when you first accepted Christ as your Savior. God's word was so fresh and so new. And you couldn't wait to read it whenever you had the opportunity. It seemed like God was with you in person and speaking directly to you. Reading and hearing God's word was a delight to you. As we became older Christians, it was easy for our devotions to become a ritual rather than a relationship with God. Why? Other things come in and take us away. Other things. Now, these are not bad things. I'm not saying they're bad things. I'm just saying things, period. My job can take me away. My children can take me away. My wife, my husband, my aunt who's sick, my neighbor who's sick, or many things can come in. The challenge is, will you go to God and stay with God, or will you go away in your mind? And you're still here saying you're focusing, but your heart is gone far away. And that's what he meant. Their lips draw nigh me, he said. He said, but their heart's far away over here. They're saying all the right things. Yes, how I love Jesus. But your heart is saying over, oh, I love golfing. Oh, I love fishing. Oh, I love my job. Oh, I've got this problem. Oh, I've got this situation over here. And oh, God doesn't know about it. But I'm still saying, oh, I trust God and God is so good. Wait a minute, that's hypocritical. We can have more technology but less spirituality. We can go away in our minds. More electronic devices but less endearing devotion. Number three, let me hurry. Not only might many go away in their minds and still be here, they're here bodily, but in their mind they're spiritually gone. Not only can you be going away in your methods, you have more technology but less spirituality. More electronic devices and less enduring devotion. But thirdly, we can go away in our mentality and still be here. In our mentality. By the way, Job said 23:12, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Do you feel that way today? I esteem the word more than my necessary food. If I don't get up with God in the morning, man, I'm like a fish out of water. I'm mean to my kids. I'm ornery. Amen. And you say, preacher, why are you that way? Because I know I missed some time with God. And I didn't get what I needed to be for them. I've got to get up in the morning with God. If I don't get up in the morning, I don't feel good. I don't feel right. If I don't get alone and get some meditation time, my wife, bless her heart, we was on the up there in one of the hotels, and I woke up a little bit late, and I went in the other room and closed the door. And she's like, look, y'all, you let Daddy do his stuff. You leave him alone. I'll take care of everything. He needs to get his time. Praise God for a spiritual wife. She knows if I can be in Bear, I can be Fred Flintstone. Wilma! I don't want to be Fred Flintstone. Amen. And so she, hey, let him get his time. He needs that time. Amen. And I do. Many can go away in their mentality and still be here. Give you three things. We can have less witnessing and there's more perishing. And do we care? In our mentality, we can have less witnessing and there's more perishing. The number of people being born into this world is still increasing. And the amount that are lost is still there. And if we don't share the gospel with them and get them saved and get them baptized and get them disciples so they can get someone saved and get them baptized and get them discipled, we are losing the battle. Well, I sent out a Facebook blog and told everybody you got to be saved. When's the last time Jesus said send out a Facebook blog and tell everybody you need to be saved? He said, go to them. He said, go ye therefore, teach all nations. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. We have the opportunity. We got to share the gospel. We've got to share the gospel. We have less witnessing and there's more perishing. Think about that. Now, if there's less witnessing going on and more people perishing, there's a deficit. It wasn't that way in the early church. The Bible says they went everywhere preaching the word. Hey, if you don't have anything else, do it like Brother Lancaster said, the cowardly way. Give a track. Leave a track here. Leave a track there. Tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not saying you're going to have opportunities all the time, but when you have the opportunity, take it. Why? There's less witnessing and more perishing. We can have less prayerfulness and more carelessness. Prayer will keep you right with God if it's done right. But if you don't pray with care, you will be careless because you don't care. You don't have that conviction. You don't have that guiding. I'm amazed, Pastor White, at how many times people will come to me after having made a decision without prayer and ask God to bless this mess. Well, I've made this decision. This is what I'm going to do, and I want you to help me fix this mess, preacher. How am I going to fix this mess that you done made? You already made the mess. And then you give them the answer, and they don't want the answer. Well, preacher, me and this boy, we're shacking up and because it's better for the bills, and you know, and we're going to get married, next month. And can you help us out? Yeah, move out. Move out. Well, preacher, if we move out, the bills. You ask my advice. I'm telling you, move out. And then I'll marry you. I'm not going to marry you while you're still living together. Oh, preacher, how dare you? And he ain't even saved over that, or she ain't even saved over that. I'm definitely not going to marry you. Well, they said they saved. I can say I'm a rock. Does that make me a rock? You say, preach, you got a rock here. That's beside the point. People say what they want to say. How many times, Pastor White, have we witnessed a man saying, I'll do this and I'll do this. They get the girl and then they run and do their own thing. I like what John said. Bring fruit meat for repentance. Amen. Show me that you're saved. Where's the fruit? Where's the evidence? You ain't going to marry one of mine. I had Linda and Brad. Now, by the way, before I went up to North Dakota, the agreement was they got to come down here and get marriage counseling. Can I get an amen? I'm not going to marry somebody sight unseen and show up all the way up to North Dakota just to find out they ain't saved. And just to find out they're not compatible. Oftentimes you can discern a whole lot through marriage counseling, whether they're right for each other. And I say, look, I don't think y'all are right for each other. But we're going to get married anyway. I'm not going to marry you. Hey, I'm not obligated to marry anybody. Let me get that record straight. I'm not obligated to marry anybody. And so if I don't feel that you're right for each other, and that's my own personal opinion, because I got to answer to God, guess what? I don't have to marry you. You find it in the fine print where it says, thou hast to marry everybody. And so if I don't think it's right, guess what? I don't have to marry you. Well, then we'll leave the church. I'd rather you leave the church and me still be right with God than to have you in the church and I'm wrong with God. Amen. Marriage is a serious thing, folks. This is no game. This is not we married this month and we divorced next month. I'm not about that. Till death do we part. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Amen. Preacher, we don't like that kind of preaching. Will ye also go away? Many of them went and followed no more with them. Some of you might not come back next week. I'm not going to be here already, so let me set the record straight. So the preacher couldn't take his own preaching. He went away. I'm not going to be here next week. It was already preordained last year. Y'all are killing me. What am I saying? We have less witnessing and more perishing. We've got less prayerfulness and more carelessness. And we've got less abandonment to self and more contentment with self. You know, without the word of God, we look pretty good. Think about it. Without the word of God, you look pretty good. You get out of the word of God for a week. Don't visit the church for a week. Some of y'all do this already. But don't get in the word of God for a week. Don't come to church for a week. Be left to your own thoughts. At the end of a week, I guarantee you will be a mess because you will rely upon your own thoughts. And you'll think you're pretty good. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death, the Bible says. You'll think you're pretty good. You'll be like judges, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You go without this book for 1 week, go without the house of God for 1 week, and you will go revert right back to your old ways, the flesh. And in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, Paul said, just the Spirit of God in me. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. There's less abandonment of self and more contentment with self. What happened? We could be going away. Psalm 119:9 says, wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Psalm 139:23, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. What is he saying? I don't want to go away, so try me where I'm at. Lord, help me where I'm at. I don't want to be sitting here in my mind. I'm wandering. In my methods, I'm wandering. In my mentality, I'm wandering. I'm gone everywhere, but the way I should be going, it's a challenge to the church crowd. And it's not for the squeamish. Why? It takes something. It takes something. It takes spiritual fortitude to be able to sit through a sermon. Back in the days, they preached for hours. If you try and get away with preaching an hour these days, man, you get all kind of dirty looks at you. Yeah, I try to stay within 45 minutes. And sometimes that becomes difficult. I got to chop it down to 30 minutes. I mean, that's difficult at best. Why? Because people start going like this. Some folks just give in to the battle. And everybody next to them, like, do they hear themselves? No, they heard themselves, they'd wake up. Oh, my mouth wide open. Then they wake up, amen, preacher. I ain't heard a word I said. But give the loudest amen. Trying to make sure, like, everybody, I can see you when you sleep. What do you think? I'm a blind. I wear glasses, yes, but I can see where somebody's like this. Especially when you start going like this. That's a clear sign that you're falling asleep. You got to catch yourself. How you know, preacher? Hey, I've not always had good focus either. My mentality has been off. My mind's been off. And I've wondered, hey, folks, I'm not preaching to y'all. I'm preaching to me, too. I'm in this group of people like this. Amen. I'm like Peter. Where are we going to go? Thou only hast the words of life. I'm like Peter who denied the Lord three times. I'm like Peter who said, I'm going fishing. And we say, we go with thee. I'm like that, too. I understand what it's like. That's what I'm saying. It requires some fortitude spiritually to focus. It's not easy. And so Jesus put this challenge out to the church crowd. I, in turn, put this out to you in the beginning of the year. And I said, this is going to be a year that we're going to be faced with some challenges. And will ye also go away is the question. What's your answer? Maybe like Peter, you give the right answer. And you say, I'm not going anywhere. You're still here. But you could be going away in your mind already. You're here in body physically, but wandering in your mind spiritually. You could be going away in your methods while you're still here. You have more technology, but less spirituality. You could be going away in your mentality already. Less witnessing while there's more perishing. Less prayerfulness, and you have more carelessness in your life. Less abandonment of yourself and more contentment with yourself. Watch out. Watch out. Because at the end of the chapter, Jesus came back and said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. Judas, being with the 12, lost his soul and lost his life. If that's you today, you could be playing this game like Judas. Judas looked good with the 12. He fit in with the 12. He was the treasure. He had the money. Nobody suspected him. When Jesus said, one of you shall betray me, they all said, Lord, is it I? No one looked to Judas. And you could be here today looking just as good as the next person, but you could be lost. Spiritually, you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've not been convicted of your sin that put him on the cross. And you have not been cleansed of that sin that put him on the cross and buried him in that tomb. And you don't have the cleansing power that raised him from the dead, being the Holy Spirit of God. You don't have that today. And just possibly you need to be saved. But possibly you're saved, but you've gone away in your mind, maybe in your methods, your mentality. But you might be lost today. Don't play games. If you're not sure that you're not born again today, get it settled today. In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. Maybe God's spoken to your heart. Before you ever go away physically, you're going to go away spiritually. It all starts right here. It goes in your mind. Then it goes down to your mentality, and your methods begin to change. And you don't do things the way you used to. Why? Your mind got away. Your mentality got affected. Now your methods are loose at best. People still need to be saved. We still need to give the gospel. Will ye also go away? Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed on looking around. Just for a minute. As Charmaine's coming to play, ask yourself the question. Are you going away in your mind? Are you here in body physically, but you're wandering in your mind spiritually? Are you hearing your methods? You've got more technology, but less spirituality. Are you going away in your mentality? Do you have less witnessing and there's more perishing? Are there less prayerfulness going on in your life and more carelessness? Is there less abandonment and more contentment with yourself? Watch out. All across this room, with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. I'm going to be honest before God to say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. I've done some things. I've been baptized. I go to church. I pray, and I try to give. I try to do the right thing, but I'm not really convinced that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me today? With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many would raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Amen. I see those two. Amen. You may put them down. Is there another? I see that third one. Amen. You may put that one down. Is there a fourth that would join in these three? I'd say, I'm not sure I'm saved today. Three have already raised their hand. Will you join? I'm going to pray for these three. But let me add this to the invitation. Maybe you're a Christian here today. Maybe you know you're saved. Maybe you've gone away in your mind, or maybe your mentality and your methods. Maybe there's something that you need to bring before God and say, God, I need you to change this about me so that I don't go away in my mind and my methods and my mentality anymore. I want to be true the rest of these 6 months. I want to be faithful. And so maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar when the piano music begins to play. But I'm going to pray for these three. And you do as the Spirit leads you after I pray. Father, thank you for these three that raised their hand. And Lord, I pray that they would not leave until they get some answers to the questions of what must they do to be born again. Lord, I pray that they would have the boldness and the confidence and the conviction to say, I want to get it settled today. Have your hand upon them. And Lord, I'm sure there are others here that have some things that they need to get right with thee. Lord, by way of their mind, maybe their methods or their mentality. And Lord, we don't want to go away. We know it's a reality. It can happen. But, oh God, we want to minimize that. And so help these that will come to an old-fashioned altar, Lord, that they would get alone with you and get a hold of you and minimize what they are doing that will decrease the possibility of them going away in their mind, their mentality, and their methods, so that they can, at the end of this year, stand true and say, it's been a rough year, but God's been faithful, and he's brought me through. And Lord, give these three saving grace and saving faith in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Charmaine's going to play special music. Maybe God's spoken to your heart. Maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe you raise your hand and saying you're not saved, and we can take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Would you let us do that this morning? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Maybe you raise your hand saying, preacher, I'm not sure. Christians are praying. That's your decision today. Say, preacher, I want to be saved. Why don't you come this morning? Say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Christians are praying. Come home, come home. Would you let God speak to your heart? How about it, ma'am? Would you get it settled today? How about it, sir? Would you get it settled today? You raise your hand saying you're not sure. I can pray for you, but I can't get saved for you. You've got to do that on your own. You've got to do that on your own. Would you like to be saved? Would you like to be saved? How about it? Christians are still praying. Why don't you let God speak to your heart? You know, this is easier said than done. But Jesus had to ask the question, will you also go away? Why? It's easy. It's oh so easy to wander spiritually. It's so easy to wander in our minds and our mentality, and then our methods begin to change. Before long, we're not doing the things that we know we ought to do, like witnessing, like praying, like studying, like being and producing fruit. It's so easy to happen. We can be so content with ourselves. We ought to abandon ourselves. 6 months to go. What's going to make you go away? You know, the one thing that will keep you from going away is to make up your mind right now that no matter what happens, you not only give the answer that Peter gave, but you stick behind it. Peter gave the right answer, but still he went away, but he came back. He went fishing, but he came back. Why? Jesus went to him personally and encouraged him. You know, you might have to go to someone that's gone away and encourage them to come back. Whether it's in their minds or their mentality or their methods, you may have to encourage them a little bit. Saying, oh, brother, oh, sister, you know what you ought to be doing. Why don't you do it? That's what Jesus did. Father, thank you so much for being a loving God. Lord, thank you how you, in your love, challenged those disciples. Lord, how you didn't force them to be your disciple. And as a result, many went away. But Lord, then the 12 were still there who did not go away, and you even challenged them, will you also go away? And Lord, that's to the church crowd, and that's us. Lord, we know that throughout the remainder of these 6 months, there are going to be things that will vie for our attention. There will be things that we may not want to have happen in our lives. And Lord, may those things be there to refine us and to refurbish us and refresh us to stand anew and afresh for the living Savior, the living God. Well, we might not always like the things that happen in our lives. We might not always agree with the things that happen in our lives. But Lord, may we agree with one thing, that we serve a good God. And we serve a faithful God, and you will never suffer us to be tempted above that we're able. But you said with the temptation, you're going to make a way to escape that we can bear it. So Lord, I pray that you'll go before us, gird us up for these remaining 6 months, and we know not what will befall us. But help us to be faithful, not to give up, but to go forward in the remainder of 2014, shining your light with all of our might, no matter what happens. Lord, for those that came to an old-fashioned altar, laying their request at your feet, Lord, grant them the petitions that they desired of thee to stand for you and to go through any of the challenges that they will face. Lord, for those making a decision this morning, help them to decide to trust you as their living Savior. Lord, that you through all things will receive the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we'll thank you for what you have done and what you are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.